Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the Gospel of Isaiah, chapter 9. It's there in your bulletin. I would recommend that you have your own Bible open, your own Bible app open. It's there in your bulletin, but also we have it on the screen. But I'll be preaching, keep in mind, from Isaiah 9, but also Isaiah chapter 8 and John chapter 1. So let's read it together. Let me read from verse 1 until verse 5. Please join me at the classic verse 6. I'll read verses 1 through 5. Join me at verse 6. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. And the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Please read with me. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The very words of God. Amen. I preached on this passage a few years ago. We did an entire year on the Gospel of Isaiah. And during the Christmas time, this is the passage we preached from. I'll be honest with you, I could preach this passage for the next 30 or 40 Christmases. It's so good and so rich and deep. So once more this year, I'll be preaching from this passage. This time, we're going to focus on verse 1 and I think verse 3, the light has dawned. And before we get into the text, I want you to think of Christianity. For those of you who are new to Christian or the Bible, think of your faith, your Christian faith, as a table, kind of table, your standard table with four legs. Because in Christianity, we have four major parts. One is the incarnation. The second is the crucifixion. The third is the resurrection. And the fourth is the ascension. The incarnation. God becomes man. Eternal. Almighty. All-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving, all-good, God becomes man. Incarnation. The crucifixion. The justice and the wrath of a holy God is being satisfied by the substitutionary atoning death at the cross. The resurrection. The resurrection of him who was crucified 3 days earlier, validating his words and his works, his teachings and his miracles. Conquering death, defeating sin, guilt, Satan, and hell. Then finally, the ascension. The ascension of him who was resurrected, seated at the right hand of the Father, having all authority, all power, all rule to govern and to reign and to empower his people. All four legs to the table of Christianity. You take one out, your Christianity falls. So the ascension is not possible without the resurrection. The resurrection does not happen if there is no crucifixion. And there's no crucifixion unless there is the incarnation, which is what we have this Advent season. This is the second week of the historic Christian season known as Advent, the coming of Christ. And that's why there's two candles here that have already been used. The third will be next week, and the fourth will be the week that leads up to Christmas. Second week of Advent. And today, we'll look at one particular message of Christmas because, well, hey, we've grown up. For those of you who have grown up in church knowing about Jesus, there's always the cliche, what is the message of Christmas? Well, for the 1,000,000th time, let me tell you. The message of Christmas is that the world is a dark place. Amen, somebody. The world is a dark, dark place. Where do I get that? From Isaiah. Now, we read Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. But really, we picked it up in the middle of Isaiah's very important sermon. It actually goes back to chapter 8. And in order to really understand verses 1 through 7, let's go back to chapter 8, verses 19 through 22. So if you'll permit me to go back a little bit, you can turn in your Bible. This is not a good sermon for those of you who have Bible apps because you can't see it on the page. You have to literally slide back or swipe left. So if you have your paper Bible, that's to your advantage today and today only. But if you have it on the screen, Isaiah, Chris, can you go back to Isaiah chapter 8? Isaiah hasho. Okay, very good. And in chapter 8, verse 19, it says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? If you'll just bear with me. Historically, in Israel, Isaiah was preaching to King Ahaz. Ahaz was a wicked and evil, terrible king. He closed down the worship at the temple of God, and he opened all kinds of other religious practices, the worst being, just outside of Jerusalem, people sacrificing their children to the fire of Molech. And it was a time when people had their own gods, they had their own little statues and their own little lucky charms, and they had omamori, and they had their kamidan in their house, and it was time of idol worship, guzo rehai. And they would consult these altars, and they would go to the idols. They would then go to witch doctors and to shamans, and they would consult spiritists. They wanted to bring up the voices of the dead, and they try to consult with them. And God is saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why? Do you understand what you're doing will lead to? Do you understand that I love you and this is leading you to death? So Isaiah is preaching this message, and we'll pick it up verse 20. He's saying, consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light. This whole, you know, palm reading and fortune telling and all of that, it's darkness because it's demonic. And he's saying, the verse 20, consult God's instruction. He says God's instruction is Genesis, Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, five books there that tell us not the history of the world and the history of God. It's God's instruction of his love for his people. And you, when you live according to God's instruction, his testimony, you live in light. You live in God's light. But when you just toss it away, do your own thing, you're throwing away the light. Verse 21, distressed and hungry, that's the result. They will roam through the land. And when they are famished, they will become enraged and look upward and will curse their king and their God. So you ruin your life by turning away from God. And then when you end up lonely, hurt, dissatisfied, messed up, broken, you look around and you say, why have you done this to me, God? And you look to the king and you say, oh, the government, the politicians, the system is messed up. There's no justice in the world. And they don't blame themselves. They don't look in the mirror. They just want to look at everyone. It's all your fault. I'm the victim, right? That's what they're doing. The very end. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. Can't see what it says there. And they will be thrust into utter darkness. It gets worse and worse and worse. The message of Christmas is that the world is a dark, utterly dark place. Ah, but Chris, Japan. When I first came, Japan is such a wonderful, kind, lovely, gentle place to live. It's true. Came to Japan, I thought I'm going to be a missionary in Japan. I'm going to show the Japanese people the love of God, and they were going to see how good life can be. And I come to Japan, I was worse off than everybody else. The people here, so polite. The streets, so clean. The convenience store workers, いらっしゃいませ. So the service industry, so good. You go to the post office or the shiaksho, they treat you so nice. They're public workers. Right? You laugh because you go to anywhere else in the world. You go to the Los Angeles where I'm from, the public, you go to the post office, the driver's department. No, no, no. But you come to Japan, oh, it's so nice, so kind. And they help you. And you ask for directions, they put down they go with you to where you're asking, right? Such a morally wonderful, good place. It's not dark. Au contraire, mon frère. Exhibit A. This year, July 30, a 71-year-old man takes the Shinkansen just a few miles south of Tokyo. He sits in the first car, in the back of the car. While the train is moving en route, he begins dousing flammable oil all over himself. People look, what are you doing? He says, get away, this is dangerous. He uses up all of the oil. He takes a lighter and lights himself on fire. You've heard of this? And you think, well, he's committing suicide. He's doing it by himself. No, he sat at the back of the train car so no one else could escape and get out. He killed himself. One other woman was killed due to smoke inhalation. The other people in the car were severely injured. So hearing about this, the BBC reports July 2nd, 2015. He's not the only one. This is not a rare case. In Japan is the land of the shadow of death. Japan in 2014 had 25,000 suicides. In one day, that's almost 70 people dying. self-inflicted. Now, that's today, think about it. How many people have already killed themselves in one day? This is a dark land that we live in. The world is a dark place. But let me show you the real darkness. It gets even worse. Among the developed countries of the world, Japan is number 3 in suicides. Korea is number 1, Hungary is number 2, but Japan is the richest country with the most suicides. Japan cannot live with itself. It's literally killing itself. The number 1 killer of men aged 22 to 44, prime of life, is not tobacco, it's not alcohol, it's not automobile accidents, it is suicide. Self-inflicted. But it gets worse. 22 to 44, how about the kids? Wilson Quarterly, October 22nd, 2015, they put out a report. There was a study done by a man in Hokkaido University, Professor Kenzo Denda. He says of all elementary school students, 小学生, 1 in 12 students are very likely depressed clinically. 1 in 12. You go up to junior high school. I teach junior high school English. I coach high school basketball. It says there 1 in 4 junior high school students are depressed. If I say the word sou utsubyo, everybody is familiar with that term. Sou utsubyo, depression, clinical depression, bipolar. In fact, here's what happens. If not you, maybe someone you know has depression clinically. If you don't know somebody, somebody they know most likely is depressed clinically, taking medication, going to counseling, in need of help. That's how bad it is. It's not just a little thing here and there. It's an epidemic. The land that we live in is a dark place. People need the light. Are you depressed enough yet? Okay? We need the Lord here. The people need, because we look around, it's utter dark. The articles that I just quoted to you, the BBC, the Wilson Quarterly, they had no answers. They had no answers. They're just like here, Isaiah says. All they're doing is looking for education, looking for politics and for leadership and for somebody to come up with a solution that will get us out of this darkness. Nothing. They said, well, you know, we're technologically advanced, but still we're dissatisfied. Well, you know, we have all this stress from the economy, and there's a lot of pressure. Well, you know, blah, 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 blah. No answers. Just this is the problem, this is the problem, this is the problem. Utter darkness. It gets worse and worse and worse. I'm not trying to get you depressed, and I'm not trying to point fingers. I'm just saying, you know the deep darkness that we are living in. It even creeps into our own life. It creeps into our own mind, and we struggle just getting up and moving. It's utter darkness. Now, here's Christians' answer to this. Here's the Christmas message. Here's what we have to say. Everybody else is trying to generate and make their own light. You look at the darkness, you have a few options. The one option is, well, I just end it. I'm done. And so that's suicide. You just kill yourself. A lot of people are doing that. Japan is the worst. That's one. The second option, it's all meaningless. This is too much pressure. It's not worth it. Let me just drink. Let me just go and enjoy life as much as I can. Let me find a hobby. Let me just turn on the TV. Let me just do some shopping. And let me find an iPhone, a smartphone, a device to distract me and take my mind off it. But that just makes it even worse, doesn't it? Because you know very well, it's an empty, empty happiness. It makes you happy. It gets a little bit pleasure. Maybe there's some comfort. There's no joy. You find a hobby. And how long does that hobby last until finally you get bored of it? You think, this is a waste of my time. I'm distracted, but I'm not fulfilled. They're hungry and distressed. That hunger is not physical hunger. That's psychological, mental, spiritual, emotional hunger. I'm not satisfied. And so what do we do? We have good news. The Christian says, I have good news. You'll never find the light. You'll never get the light if you try to do it yourself. You see, let me explain it one way. This great guy named Dinesh D'Souza, he's a great Christian debater. I recommend him to you. He says this. People live on two levels. The one level here, let's say it's called the human level. The human level says, this is how life is. This is how people are. So it's good, it's bad, it's what it is. But then because we're people, there's another level that we know of. It's not the way life is, it's the way life should be. Right? This is how it is, but I know it can be better. It's the second level. We'll call that the divine level. There's the human level of, well, my body's deteriorating, I don't know as much as I should, I'm not studying, I'm not doing as much as I should. But that's how it is. Then there's the divine level where we know it could be much better than this. But humanity, what they do is they try to get from this level, try to climb to that level. They do it with their hobbies. They do it with their money. They do it with their education, with their work, with their success. They try to get up there to how they think it should be, right? Christianity says it's not going to work. You climb any ladder you want, it's the wrong ladder. The truth is, humanity can't get up to the divine. The divine has to come down to humanity. The divine has to take on the humanity. And the divine is what blesses humanity and brings humanity up to itself. Where do we get that? Chapter 9, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Please look at it, the very first word we read. That's a big word. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. Okay? Another word is however. Nandakedo. Right? It's so dark. It's so utterly dark, depressed, and completely unsalvageable. And yet, God will save it. You see, Bob Dylan said it like this. Bob Dylan said, he was invited to sing a song with Michael Jackson and with, I don't know, Michael Jackson's the biggest name I could think of right now. Lots of pop artists from the 1980s. 1980s, anybody? Okay, thank you. See that hand? Right? Stevie Wonder, lots of people. They're singing, we are the world, we are the children, we are the ones who make a brighter day. Okay, so let's start live, and no one wants to join me. That's fine. I'll sing it myself. I got no problem with that, okay? So they're singing the song, and they're saying, we're the answer. We're the ones who bring the light. We're the ones who save the world. Bob Dylan gets an interview. They say, Bob, what do you think? Wasn't that a great song? Bob says, well, to be honest with you, I was not comfortable singing that song. They say, Bob, why? Why don't you like the song? And he said this. He said, I don't like that song because man cannot save himself. Can't do it. Bob Dylan knew it. Isaiah said it. We can't do it ourselves. Nevertheless, God comes to save us. We don't deserve it. There's nothing we did, nothing we're doing to help ourselves. And yet, this is the grace. that God looks at us, our loneliness, our brokenness, our darkness, our depression, and he says, I'm coming for you. I'm going to take you out of this. I'm coming in the form of a man. And not yet a man, I'm going to come as a baby. I'm going to come as one who was broken and was lonely and was distressed, living in the darkness. And I'm going to give you the light. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In distress. But, and I want to skip down to verse 2. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have to believe in Christmas if you're going to get out of this. If you're going to look at the hurt and the pain and the suffering, you have to believe that this is true. We're not just singing songs, and it's not just decorations. It's light. It's life. And lives depend on it. 25,000 a year depend on it. Now, I don't have too much time. I have to skip over verses 1b. I'll talk about it next time, okay? I'll just keep on going. But I need to get you to something very important, and that's in John chapter 1. If you could go ahead and flip to the New Testament, John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. And for while you're turning there, the reason I go there is because this is the scripture that Pastor Hiroshi talked about last sermon. He's preaching John chapter 1. I'm preaching Isaiah chapter 9. But my friend, let me tell you, if you can understand Japanese at all, if you have any level of Japanese, I recommend you go to Mitaki's homepage, YouTube or Facebook, and download Pastor Hiroshi's sermon from last Sunday, Makoto no Hikari, the true light. It's brilliant. Pastor Hiroshi is our Greek scholar. He teaches Greek at the Assemblies of God seminary in Tokyo. And he broke it down word by word in the Greek last week. So if you can understand a little bit of Japanese, I really recommend that to you. So he's preaching on the light. We're preaching on the light today. Who is that light? What is that light? If you read verse 4, this is about Jesus. John says, in him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. All mankind. The makoto, the true light. So the light from Isaiah that dawns on the people living in darkness is the light in John chapter 1. It's the light for all mankind. All mankind. That's a very important word because I said I was going to skip over the first part of verse 1 in chapter 9 of Isaiah. Why does Jesus come to Galilee? Why the land of Zebulun? Why Naphtali? Well, I'll give you a preview of next week. You see, listen to me now. Many people, Japanese people say, I'm Buddhist. Japan is a Buddhist country. We can't become Christian, right? And you know what? That's the same thing people said to Jesus. We're Israel. How could you be the Son of God? You weren't born in Jerusalem. You didn't grow up in the temple. You grew up in Galilee. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You grew up in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. But God says, no. It's not about Jerusalem. It's not about Judaism. It's not about the temple system. It's about the Galilee of the nations. The word, if you go back there, you don't have to. We read it. Galilee of the nations. Jesus wasn't coming to save just Israel. He was coming to save the world. Jesus didn't come just to save the Americans and the Europeans and the South Americans because they're Christian. Jesus came to save Japan. Because Jesus came to Galilee, Nazareth, Galilee of the nations. All mankind. Because all mankind is living in darkness. And so, verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Now we skip down to verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. I'll close with this. The world is a dark place. That's the message of Christmas. we can't make the light of ourselves. We can only get it from Him who is the true light. And that true light, how do we do that? You don't pray hard. You don't read a lot. You don't get into baptism and you don't serve in it. You receive the light. You receive it. I have nothing in my hands to give. I have nothing in my hands to offer God. Only the sin that makes my salvation necessary. You want the light? You want the life? You just open your heart to God. Because He's going to give it. He loves. That's what He came to do. Who was invited to Jesus' birthday? Not the kings, not the wise, not the doctor, the shepherds. Basically, the garbage men, the nobodies, the rejected, the stinky, the unemployed, the homeless, the nobody. They said, I'm not worthy. And God said, that's exactly why I want you to. If there's anybody like that in here, Chris, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. Who am I? That's exactly whom God is calling. I've sinned. I've messed it up. I grew up in church, and look, here I am. I can't change myself. That's exactly why God wants to bring you the light. Only He can change you. My friends, it's the greatest word in the Bible. Nevertheless, you are a sinner. Nevertheless, you will be made a saint. You are guilty. Nevertheless, you will be sanctified. You are shamed and disgraced. Nevertheless, He takes it away from you because of Jesus, because of Christmas. So let's come to Him now. Let's receive Him into our hearts. Let's accept the light. I want to do that. If you do that, I want to invite you to join with me in communion. We'll take a moment of prayer, meditation, reflection. Once more, fill yourself with the light of life, with Jesus Christ. And as you do that, I'll invite you in due time to partake. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we confess that often we live in darkness. In our own life, Lord, we have sin unconfessed. We have betrayal and unforgiveness. But Lord, You said, if we will walk in the light as You are in the light, we will have fellowship with You. And that if we will confess our sin, that You will be faithful and just to forgive our sin. Lord, we need the light. Our land, our country, our city needs the light. We come to You who is the light of all mankind. Thank You, Lord. We close this time of prayer and a service with a heart of thanksgiving, adoration, and gratitude. We thank You that You came to us. We thank You that You come to us. We thank You that You will come again. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.